Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. Hey everyone, it's great to be alive. I have a wonderful guest in the studio today, someone that I've gotten to know very well over the past year and a half. Jeanette Ravodich is in the studio. How you doing, Jeanette?
I am doing great, Monique. Thank you so much for having me today.
Can you tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. I'm Jeanette Ravodich, and I am the Director of Planned Giving for an organization called Lutheran Ministries of Mercy. And we are the umbrella organization sharing resources for Filling Home in Napoleon and Lutheran Social Services in the Toledo area and Luther Home of Mercy over in Williston, Ohio. And I think today we're going to talk a little bit about our work at Lutheran Social Services.
We're going to talk about that and about your life. That's what we're really here to talk about. So, Jeanette, can you tell us where you were born and raised?
I was actually born in Toledo.
Okay. But
when I was about 5 years old, our family relocated to Sandusky, Ohio, which is home to Cedar Point. And so I was raised really in Sandusky until my senior year of high school. And then after that, I went on to the Ohio State University for 3 years, majoring in education during that time. And a couple of things changed in my life, and I decided that it was probably time to move closer to home. And I did that, which led me to the University of Toledo.
Well, before we get all the way up to college, I would like to know, how was your childhood growing up in Sandusky?
Oh, my gosh, my childhood was great. I lived on the lake, and because you live on the lake, you do a lot of swimming, a lot of outdoor activities during the summer months. I have friends that I met in kindergarten that are still my friends today, and I think that those friendships really have helped me be the person that I am. I can't think of a whole lot of anything negative about growing up in Northwest Ohio.
Well, that's good to hear. We like to hear that on Soul of the Glass City.
Yeah.
So you said you attended both Ohio State University and the University of Toledo. What did you study? And you said you received your degrees in education?
I received my degree in education. And the reason that I chose education is that kind of growing up, I was part of the Junior Achievement Organization. And we had mentors during that time. And as I look at my life, it really was the mentors that I had that impacted it. So I did a lot of work in grade school, like with the Sisters of St. Francis out at Lourdes, and then Junior Achievement. And when you look at the women and the men who were my mentors, it was really easy to say, you know, education is probably where I need to be, because I too could then be a mentor.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Like each one teach one. So you've earned several certifications in philanthropy and nonprofit management. How have these shaped your approach to your work?
Well, I think it goes back to the relationships that you build. I've been in fundraising, development, nonprofit work now for 40 years. I left education and went to nonprofit work. And the key is the relationships that you build along the way. I always say to folks, I don't want to ever burden my work with our professional friendships. Like, I don't want to say, oh, can you give us a dollar? Can you give us $5? How about a donation here or a donation there? So I try to keep my professional life and my friendship life separate. But I got to tell you, the relationships that we build along the way that a community reacts to you know, the program's legacy, if you will. Those things all have impacted my life in many, many ways. And I think that I would say those certificates, those things that I've done, have reminded me, build your relationships first and everything else will come after.
I totally agree with that. You began your career as a classroom teacher. What inspired you to transition into nonprofit leadership, and how has your career evolved in that 40 years?
I'm sure that a lot of people don't realize, but you know, back in 1984, when I was a teacher, I was making $10,000 a year.
Wow.
That was my salary. And, you know, I was a single woman and living in Toledo, Ohio, and $10,000 a year meant, you know, really cutting every corner that you could possibly cut. And so I went to work at the Ronald McDonald House as a weekend manager. And while there, I just started to fall in love with the work that was being done. At that time, they were looking at creating the Jamie Farr golf outing, and they were full all of the time. People were coming to stay at Ronald McDonald House while their kids were getting treatments at Toledo Hospital and Medical College of Ohio and St. V's. So those things just kind of like sucked me right in and made me feel part of really wanting to give back to the community. And the person who was the manager at that time was an elderly woman who had already retired from all of her career. Her name was Alice Dickerson. A lot of people know Alice because she also was one of the founding partners of St. Paul's Community Center. And Alice said to me one day, "I think you should do this work full time." And there was a long pause. And I said, "You've got to be kidding me." And I said, "I just got done with college." And she said, "It doesn't matter. You can teach in a classroom. You can teach when you work in a corporation. You can teach wherever you go. But you have something in you that makes you a person who should be working in the community. And I'm going to retire, and I want you to take my job." And I was just in awestruck. You know, how does this person want to put their faith in me? And so from that conversation, I actually applied for the job and got it several months later, but have never looked back following in Alice's legacy. Just a beautiful woman, a great community leader, and I'm just proud that my career has led me to this type of community work because I get to meet amazing people like you, and that's a good thing.
Vice versa. You've mentioned that you've been involved with several organizations, and Ronald McDonald House is an example, but also United Way of Greater Toledo, and now your current role at Lutheran Ministries of Mercy. Which of these experiences had the most impact on you and why?
That's a good question.
If it's more than one, you could say it. I'm not going to hold you to one.
No, I think that, you know, the most impactful piece of work that I do is watching a client find success. You know, when people come to a nonprofit organization, they're not always in their best place. Sometimes they're struggling with mental health issues. Sometimes they're struggling because they don't have enough food on the table. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a sick child in the hospital. I think the thing that makes me feel the best is when I know that the programs and services that the organization I work for is offering make a difference. And I can honestly say that for every organization, United Way, the Sight Center, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, all of those organizations met people where they were in their lives on that particular day. And when you do that, when a nonprofit organization does that, the stories are told and our community is better.
I'm just grateful that, you know, you are who you are. You do the work that you do, and I had the pleasure of meeting you at where I'm at. You do have an influence on a lot of things with the work that you do. I would love to know what projects and initiatives you're currently working on as the Director of Planned Giving at LMM.
Right now, I think the two big projects that we're working on are really at Lutheran Social Services. They're located in the Old West End of Toledo, and for over 110 years, they have been offering social service programs to really help people change their lives. And we're undergoing a campaign right now to raise funds for their improvement on their building, about a 7,000 square foot addition. That's not really about the building, it's about the work that they're going to be able to do once that building is up and running and more efficient. As the demands of our services in Toledo and Northwest Ohio change, that new space will really give Lutheran Social Services an opportunity to expand their programming. So that's been a significant program that we're working on. And within that building, we offer a choice food pantry. And a choice food pantry is a little bit different because when people come to us, they get to shop just like a grocery store. While all of the items will be given to them for free, they get to choose a 5-day supply, 3 meals a day, for whoever lives within their household. And they can come to us once a month. But you know, the average person only comes 3 times a year. And that to me is amazing because some people think, oh, I bet people take advantage of that. You know, free food, they take advantage of that. And the truth is this, people don't. They come when they need us, and we are able to, by the generosity of others, have that food pantry up and operational. And I joined a committee this year for a program called Stock the Shelves. And on May the 15th, our leadership team there and our volunteers will work together to do a food collection. And you can visit our website to learn all of the details about that. It's really simple. LSSNWO.org, LSSNorthwestOhio.org. And, you know, we're on Facebook, we're on social media. So come check us out. And if you feel the urge to volunteer or, you know, to donate every now and then a couple of canned goods for that food pantry, we would be most grateful. Don't want to go into too much more detail about that because I am a fundraiser, but this radio program was designed to tell our story, and so I'll be quiet now.
That was so cute, Jeanette. You're just a doll. I appreciate that. I appreciate you just being here and just being a blessing to the communities that you serve.
Thank you, Monique. But I think that everybody needs to know that you're a blessing to this community. You do a lot of community work. And when people stand with you, like me today, it's because we know that we can trust you. And so thank you for everything that you do to make a difference in our community. Your show, The Soul in the Glass City, you are the soul. So thank you.
So are you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Piper. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.